God gives direction for these magi. He used a star. For Balaam in the Old Testament, it was a donkey. For the people of Israel, it was the pillar of fire. God will sometimes use stars, but sometimes He might even use storms, as was in the case of Jonah, when God brought a storm into his life. That arrested his attention. In my life, it was a friend's incessant inviting me. It was bugging me to death that I would actually try to avoid him when I'd see him coming. But you know, God used that as a perennial star. And you know, when I finally followed, it completely transformed my life.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all know the story, how God sent a star to guide the Magi to Christ. But today, Pastor Wayne will show us that God is still sending stars. Maybe not the kind you see in the sky at night, but in His own way, He is sending stars to guide us to the Christ child. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Gift of Following.
Today, the gift of following. You know, following directions is going to be something many of us will have to come to grips with this Christmas, because if you have kids, you buy these things and you got to put it together. That's the thing I hate on Christmas morning. And so you spend, you know, the time to buy something like a dollhouse. I remember buying one for Abby or Amy. And then it's there in the box. I said, there it is. But it's all in a box, Dad. You got to put it together. I didn't buy it to put it together. Bought it for you. You put it together. I don't care. But then following directions. Oh, that's so hard, because I usually end up with enough stuff to build another dollhouse. Directions. Especially for people like me. You know, Porygi people cannot follow directions. Just that's not in my blood. And when I do follow directions, I am dangerous. It's like the story of Manel's wife came home, and Manel was there with his head in his hands going, owie, owie, I got the headache, the biggest headache I ever had in my life. She said, how come? She said, I don't know. He said, I just following directions. I'm trying to drink the orange juice you bought at the store. For 2 hours, I've been having headaches. She said, how come? He said, I don't know. Follow directions. Look, he says, orange juice, concentrate. Owie, 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 owie. So Mary, his wife, said, oh, stop it now, Manel. Just here, take one aspirin. And remember next time, call me before you follow directions, because you need supervision for even follow directions. He said, oh, are we? So he take aspirin. She said, at least, she continued, she said, at least it's not as bad as the last time last year I almost found you dead. He said, when was that? Remember you worked hard all day on painting the house. Painting the house, but when I came home after work, there you were. Lying on the driveway, sweating like one pig, and you were exhausted. You lost 10 pounds. You were dehydrated and unconscious. He said, oh, yeah, I think I remember. And she said, until this day, I still cannot figure out why you were laying there with my fur coat on and your mainland ski jacket on top of that. No wonder you was hot. Till this day, I cannot figure out why. He said, I was just following directions. He said, on the paint, it said, for best result, always use two coats. So there's a gift of following directions, I want you to know. But thank God for some wise men in the Bible that followed directions. And they leave us the example of the gift of following. So let's read from Matthew chapter 2, the story about wise men from the east. And let's see what it says to us. Ready? Go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Would you circle the word, he was troubled? We're going to come back to that. But that was his response. Now let me read to you the rest of the story. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them as to where this Christ was to be born. And they, the chief priests and scribes, they answered and said, in Bethlehem of Judea,
For so it has been written in the prophets, and they quote Micah. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. Was that his real goal? Now we find out later he wanted to kill anyone that would intimidate his throne. And so there was near genocide where he went and wiped out all the children, 2 years and younger, all the male children. Now, having heard the king, the Magi went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But having been warned by God in a dream not to return by the way of Herod, they departed for their own country by another way, another route. A historical event was about to take place with epic proportions. The birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. And God wanted to arrest the attention of the people. And so he sent a star to get their attention. Now the star must have been very unusual, but you wonder why it was revealed to those men. Why did God give the invitation to follow to these? Because they were wise? Maybe. But maybe more so because God knew that these men would do something with this star. They would follow it. You see, wisdom, I'm finding, is not just a state of being as much as wisdom is that which seeps into our souls when we follow after the one who is all wise. We begin to take on his character, but it requires something of us. And that is the message of the first Christmas as well as this one 2002 years later. That is this: God is still revealing his direction to mankind if we will listen. God is giving stars to lead people to the manger till they come face to face with God himself. We find that all over in the scriptures, how God gives direction, gives invitation to follow. For these Magi, he used a star, but it doesn't always come in the form of a star. It's just a way that God uses in your life and mine to arrest our attention so that we can see what he's doing and follow along. For those people, it was a star. For Balaam in the Old Testament, it was a donkey with which God used to get his attention. For the people of Israel, it was the pillar of fire by night and the smoke or the cloud by day. For Daniel, it was prayer, and God would lead him, give him direction. Mary, it was Gabriel that would come and invite her to follow in the direction that God would have. For Peter, it was a rooster. You see, God will sometimes use stars, but sometimes he might even use storms. Whatever will arrest our attention to get us thinking in the right direction in order for us to have opportunity to follow. As was in the case of Jonah, when God brought a storm into his life, that arrested his attention. God will work in your life and mine in any way to get our attention back to where he wants us to go so that we're back on the right direction with the Lord. For me, in my life, it was a friend's incessant inviting me to this little campus crusade thing when I was up in Portland, Oregon years ago. He was bugging me to death that I would actually try to avoid him when I'd see him coming. But you know, God used that as a perennial star to beckon me. And you know, when I finally followed, it completely transformed my life. The gift of following. You see, God is going to do whatever he must to arrest your attention, to get you, to apprehend your attention, to get you to see the direction he wants you to go. The question is, how are you stewarding those invitations? What are we doing with what God is entrusting to us? It's a gift to follow, because it may not come to everybody, but it came to those wise men, and they did something with it. So they will show us today, not just an example of following, but how wisdom seeps into our soul by doing something with what God shows us and invites us towards. So what are some of the things that these wise men will show us? The first is this. When they saw the star, they didn't just go, oh, cool, nice star. Take a picture of that. No. You know what they did? Here it is. Would you write in your notes? They gave value to the ways of God. They gave value to the ways of God. And they're saying to us, give value to the ways of God even when you don't understand it. Give value to it. Otherwise, we'll just look at it and say, oh, that's nice. And God's word, God's sign, God's star may trouble you, may convict you, but it won't change you until you give value to it. And that's exactly what the wise men did, because if we'll run ahead and find them at the end zone where they meet up with the child, let's find out what they did. Let's read the scripture. Ready? Go. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Would you circle the word worshiped him? They worshiped him. That was their response. And in fact, the word worship comes from an old English word, which means to give worth to or worth-ship to. Like kingship, there is a word called worth-ship, attributing value, attributing worth. And the word worship comes from that. So when we give God value, we give God worth because he deserves our attention and our affection, we are giving him worth-ship or worship. When we do that in church or wherever it might be, where we extend our hearts and affections to him, we are worshiping God or showing him, expressing his worth in our life. That's why the Bible says, be careful what you give your worth to. You cannot give total or complete or most prioritized worth to mammon or money, because you can't do that and to God. You have to choose. Is it to a relationship, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, things, materialism, self, person in the full-length mirror, or to God? That's why the scripture says, you shall have one God and you shall worship him only. Because what you give greatest worth to will dictate the priorities and worth or value of the rest of your life. What you give value to, if you give value to leisure, just feeling good, it will dictate what you decide. It'll actually dictate your core philosophies of life. If I value money as most important, then it will dictate how I think. If me is the greatest thing I worship or give worth to, then it will dictate everything else about me. But God is saying this, but if you will worship the Lord and him alone, it will change the way you see life, and it will give accuracy to your core philosophies or your perspective on the rest of life. And so what the wise men are saying is this. They're saying that when you see God's invitation, give God your greatest worth. Give God value. And it said, and they worshiped him. Even when you don't understand it, there's going to be times God will step into my life as he will into yours, and you won't understand why he asks this of us. Our feelings may be going one way. I want to do this, but I know God says this. I don't understand, God, but I get to choose. There was a man who came to me last year and said, you know, Wayne, I've been giving financially for ministry stuff, and it's so neat to see people like the Thanksgiving thing we had, to see them get fed, to see clothing going out, to see us pick up a camp and invest in our youth, to help buy paint or this for a school or for this for a low-income housing. We just love to do that, so we've been giving. But when my accountant saw how much I was giving to the ministry, he said to me, and he's not a Christian, my accountant said, if you'll stop giving so much to the church, you can invest for yourself more. So I went home and talked to my wife about it. So I said, well, what did you guys decide? He said, we decided next year we're going to change accountants. I said, wise move. Because the ways of God are not always readily understood by people who don't give God greatest value. So there's going to be times you won't understand certain things. But God is at work when you worship Him or give Him greatest value, even when you don't understand. I don't understand why, when I grew up, I don't understand why both of my parents died so young. So I didn't have the chance to be able to spend the time with them. I don't understand why I didn't get the chance to grow up with my older brother and older sister, because they split up our family with a young divorce when I was in the sixth grade and split our family apart. I don't understand. I don't understand when I went to the Catholic school. I don't understand why they kicked me out. I don't know. But you know, there's going to be a lot of things in life you won't understand. But you know, I look back over it now, and it wasn't the easiest life. It was tough. But you know, I wouldn't trade a day of it. I wouldn't trade a day of it. Because God used that as a star to bring me to the manger. And whatever God uses, I am satisfied with. You see, because we can say, I don't understand, therefore. Well, Job reminds us about that. Job, when he had everything taken away from him, let's see what happens when everything was gone. Let's read about Job in verse 20 and 22 of the first chapter of Job. Ready? Go. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Isn't that great? See, he gave God greatest value, even if he didn't understand, and wisdom began to seep into his life. In fact, Job, one man, a whole book of the Old Testament is dedicated to one person's journey in gaining wisdom. Amazing. Well, you say, well, Wayne, what if, you know, you're kind of getting direction from God and you think this might be God? How do you tell for sure? Well, that's what happened when the wise men came and asked Herod, and Herod said, well, how do we give credence to this star? The chief priests and the scribes said, well, it's written right in the Bible. I mean, it says that right in Micah, and they quote it. One of the most important things for you to be doing is to be a person reading the Bible. And that's why we talk about journaling. Because as you know the Bible better and better every year, what it does is it gives you a sense within you as to what's God and what's not. Because you begin to know God's nature. You begin to know the context of how God speaks and how He works. And when something happens, you can say, I don't think that's the star that God is showing me. I don't think that's God's direction. So you'll remain teachable, but you won't be gullible. See the difference? So a lot of times people who are, they say that of Christendom, the Christians are too gullible. Anything mystical, they kind of just throw their head into. Well, sometimes what they're saying is true. Because we can be gullible rather than teachable because we don't know the Word of God in us. But when you're constantly reading the Bible or knowing what the Word of God says, it begins to give you sensors in your life, or it begins to give you a sense of right and wrong, gives you a warning system built in so that it gives you an accurate perspective. When something isn't quite right, the sensors go off. But you need to have God's Word in you. Now, sometimes people will say to me, Wayne, you know, it's nice, but I read the Bible, but I don't understand like 90% of what I read. So what do I do? I said, no problem. Easy. Journal on the 10% you do understand. Don't journal on what or bemoan what you don't understand. Just respond to what you do understand. If it's one verse that you understand, the rest a blur, be faithful to apply to respond to the one verse you do. Because when you start reading the Bible, we have eyes that don't see God's ways. It's not been trained in God's ways. We're blind to God's ways. But we're starting to see just a little bit. And so begin to respond to what you do understand instead of bemoan what you don't. And then you know what? Next year comes around and it won't be 10% that you understand now. It'll be 30%. And then the next year it'll be 70%. And you'll begin to have eyes that see. You're developing that ability to cooperate with, see, understand the things of God. So stay with it and it'll help you. And by the way, you know as well as I, a lot of God's ways are so much further than above ours. And scientists even say that we use just 4% of our brains. Do you know that? And for some of the relatives I have, that's an extremely generous estimate. So the first is give value to the things or the ways of God. But then what? They didn't just say, wow, nice star, valuable. No. Would you write in number two there, the second step in allowing wisdom to seep into your life and steward well this gift of following or this gift of invitation. Number two, respond to his leading. Respond to his leading. You see, it's one thing to know, but it's a whole nother thing to respond. And wisdom doesn't seep into our soul until we begin to respond. Now, Herod knew but didn't respond. Let's read what the scripture says. Ready? Go. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where this Christ was to be born. Well, they read the Old Testament to him. And then what was his next move? Let's read the next scripture. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. But do you remember the first word that you circled at the top of your notes? When he heard that Christ was born, what happened to him? It troubled him. You see, when we just know and not respond, we become more like Herod than the wise men. Where when God gives us a star and we see it, a word, an invitation, and it could come through a book you're reading, it could come through a message, and God, though there's 8,000-10,000 people, God speaks to you, and ouch, I got it. Now, you might know, the question is, what are you going to do with it now? Are you going to respond? What are you going to do? Otherwise, you'll be like Herod, where God's word troubles us, but it doesn't convince us. He was troubled, but he wasn't convinced. He was troubled, but he was never transformed. And that'll happen with us as well if we don't respond. Because then we'll know, but we won't respond to. And wisdom only comes when you respond. I was in a counseling session with a man that had been a Christian for about 15 years, but his life was in shambles. And his marriage was about to go over the edge. So I was trying to counsel him, and I was saying to him, you know, you need to ask, like, forgiveness. He said, yeah, I know that. He said, yeah, but, you know, you might not realize that forgiveness isn't really admitting who's right or wrong or who's righter or wronger, because in every situation, it takes two to tango. You're going to be at fault. Your wife's going to be at fault. Another situation, it could be 50%, 50 or 90-10, but there's always going to be error on both sides. So just start with asking for forgiveness and repenting, not defending, repenting. He says, yeah, I know that. And I said, you know, it's because the reason it's so important is because repentance and forgiveness is the greatest weapon against the devil. That's what defeated him on the cross. It was forgiveness, not proving who was right or wrong. It was forgiveness. That defeats the devil every time because he doesn't have a foot to stand on at that point. So you start with that. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, and you need to be the head of the home to take lead in that. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, and you need to be reading the Bible so God's speaking to you. He said, Pastor Wayne, I know that. I said, then maybe help your wife. He said, I know. So maybe you should have your wife come in. We can counsel together. He said, yeah, I know. I try all that. So I looked at him and I said, then what the fat are you doing in my office here then if you know all of this? I said, get out of here and go do it. You see, this man knew it all, but he was unwise.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Gift of Following by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. We encourage you to visit our website and order some of Pastor Wayne's books or music. That web address, www.enewhope.org. Just click on the resources tab. That's enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Mele Kalikimaka. This is Pastor Wayne Cordero of Words of New Hope. Each Christmas brings new gifts, and may this year you find not just gifts, but a new view of the giver of all gifts, Jesus Christ himself.